Welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here, because today we're diving into one of the most dramatic and fascinating topics in the entire specification, tectonic processes and hazards. Whether it's a volcano erupting in Iceland, an earthquake devastating Japan, or a tsunami racing across the Pacific Ocean, all of these events trace back to the same incredible force, the movement of tectonic plates. By the end of this episode, you'll understand exactly why these hazards happen, where they occur, and most importantly, how to write about them in a way that earns you top marks in your exam. Let's get started. So, first things first. The Earth isn't just a solid ball of rock. It has layers. At the very centre is the inner core, solid iron and nickel, incredibly hot, around 5,000 degrees Celsius. Surrounding that is the outer core, which is liquid. Then we have the mantle, a thick layer of semi-molten rock called magma. And on the outside, the thin layer we actually live on, the crust. Now the crust and the very top of the mantle together form what we call the lithosphere. And this is broken up into giant pieces called tectonic plates. There are around 12 major plates and several smaller ones, and they are constantly moving, very slowly, just a few centimetres per year, about the same speed your fingernails grow. But what makes them move? This is where convection currents come in. Deep in the mantle, heat from the Earth's core causes the magma to rise. As it rises, it cools, spreads sideways, and sinks back down. This circular movement drags the plates above it. There are also two other key forces. Ridge push, where new crust forms at mid-ocean ridges and pushes the older, heavier crust away. And slab pull, where old, dense oceanic crust sinks back into the mantle at subduction zones, pulling the rest of the plate behind it. Examiners love it when candidates can distinguish between ridge push and slab pull, so make sure you know both. Now let's talk about plate boundaries, the places where plates meet, because this is where almost all tectonic hazards occur. There are four main types. First, destructive boundaries, also called convergent boundaries. This is where an oceanic plate and a continental plate move towards each other. Because oceanic crust is denser, it gets forced underneath the continental plate in a process called subduction. As it sinks, it melts and forms magma, which can rise to create explosive stratovolcanoes. The subducting plate also creates a zone of earthquakes at increasing depths. This is called the Benioff zone. Japan is a perfect example. It sits on a destructive boundary and experiences both powerful earthquakes and explosive volcanic eruptions. Second, constructive boundaries, also called divergent boundaries. Here, two plates move apart. Magma rises to fill the gap, creating new oceanic crust and forming mid-ocean ridges. The Mid-Atlantic Ridge is the classic example. Iceland actually sits on this ridge, which is why it has so much volcanic activity. Third, collision boundaries. This happens when two continental plates collide. Neither can subduct, so instead they crumple upwards, forming fold mountains. The Himalayas formed this way when the Indian plate collided with the Eurasian plate around 50 million years ago. And fourth, conservative boundaries, also called transform boundaries. Here, two plates slide past each other horizontally. No volcanoes, but the friction builds up enormous stress, which is released as earthquakes. The San Andreas Fault in California is the most famous example. Now, what about volcanoes and earthquakes that occur away from plate boundaries? These are called intraplate events, and they're caused by mantle plumes, columns of exceptionally hot magma that rise from deep within the mantle and burn through the overlying plate. Hawaii is the classic example. The Hawaiian Islands formed as the Pacific plate moved slowly over a fixed mantle plume, creating a chain of shield volcanoes. Unlike the explosive stratovolcanoes at destructive boundaries, shield volcanoes have gentle slopes and produce runny basaltic lava that flows slowly, far less immediately dangerous.
Let's move on to the hazards themselves, starting with earthquakes. When plates move, stress builds up along fault lines. When that stress is suddenly released, seismic energy radiates outward from the focus, the point underground where the earthquake originates. Directly above the focus on the surface is the epicenter, which is where the shaking is usually most intense. The energy travels as three types of waves. P waves, or primary waves, arrive first. They compress and expand the rock as they travel, and they can pass through solid and liquid. S waves, or secondary waves, arrive next. They shake the rock from side to side and can only travel through solid material. And L waves, or surface waves, arrive last but cause the most damage because they travel along the Earth's surface with a rolling, destructive motion. Earthquakes also trigger secondary hazards. Liquefaction occurs when the shaking causes water-saturated soil to behave like a liquid, causing buildings to sink or tilt. Landslides can be triggered on steep slopes. And of course, submarine earthquakes at subduction zones can displace the seabed, generating tsunamis. Speaking of tsunamis, how do they form? When a submarine earthquake occurs at a subduction zone, the sudden vertical movement of the seabed displaces an enormous volume of water. This creates a series of waves that travel outward at speeds of up to 800 kilometers per hour in the open ocean. In deep water, the waves are barely noticeable, perhaps just half a meter high. But as they approach shallow coastal water, they slow down and the energy is compressed upwards, creating waves that can reach 30 meters or more. The 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, triggered by a magnitude 9.1 earthquake off the coast of Sumatra, killed over 230,000 people across 14 countries. That's a statistic worth knowing for your exam. Now let's talk about volcanic hazards, because there's more to a volcanic eruption than just lava. Pyroclastic flows are the most deadly. These are superheated clouds of gas, ash, and rock fragments that race down the volcano's flanks at speeds of up to 700 kilometers per hour at temperatures exceeding 500 degrees Celsius. Nothing survives a pyroclastic flow. Lava flows are slower and usually less immediately deadly, but they destroy everything in their path. Ash falls can collapse roofs, contaminate water supplies, and disrupt aviation across vast areas. Volcanic gases, particularly sulfur dioxide, are toxic and can cause acid rain. Lahars are volcanic mudflows, mixtures of ash and water that flow down river valleys, burying entire towns. And Jökulsárlóps are glacial outburst floods that occur when volcanic heat melts ice or snow, releasing catastrophic floods. Iceland experiences these regularly.
Right, now for the exam tips. This is where we really focus on getting you those marks. Common mistake number one, confusing ridge push and slab pull. Remember, ridge push happens at constructive boundaries, where new elevated crust pushes older crust away. Slab pull happens at destructive boundaries, where dense oceanic crust sinks and pulls the rest of the plate. They are different processes at different boundaries. Common mistake number two, saying all volcanoes are at plate boundaries. They're not. Hotspot volcanoes like Hawaii form over mantle plumes in the middle of plates. If an exam question asks you to explain the distribution of volcanoes, you must mention both plate boundary volcanoes and hotspot volcanoes. Common mistake number three, not linking focal depth to the Benioff zone. If a question asks about earthquake focal depth at a destructive boundary, you need to explain that as the subducting plate descends deeper into the mantle, earthquakes occur at progressively greater depths along the Benioff zone. Top tip for 6-mark and 8-mark questions. Always use named examples with specific facts and figures. Don't just say an earthquake in Japan. Say the 2011 Tohoku earthquake in Japan, which measured magnitude 9.0 and triggered a tsunami that killed over 15,000 people. Examiners award marks for specific knowledge. Top tip for command words. If the question says explain, you must give reasons. Use connective language like because, therefore, this means that, and as a result. If it says describe, you just need to say what something looks like or where it is. If it says assess or evaluate, you need to weigh up different factors and reach a judgment. Quickfire recall quiz time. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Question one. What are the three forces that drive plate movement? Convection current, ridge push, and slab pull. Question two. At which type of plate boundary does subduction occur? Destructive or convergent boundaries? Question three. What is the Benioff zone? The zone of earthquakes that occurs along a subducting plate at a destructive boundary, with focal depths increasing with distance from the trench. Question four. Name one intraplate volcanic feature and explain its cause. The Hawaiian Islands, formed by a mantle plume, a column of exceptionally hot magma rising from deep in the mantle, burning through the overlying Pacific plate. Question five. What is the difference between a focus and an epicenter? The focus is the point underground where an earthquake originates. The epicenter is the point on the surface directly above the focus. Right, let's wrap up. Today you've covered the structure of the Earth and what drives plate movement. You've learned the four types of plate boundary and the hazards each produces. You know about intraplate earthquakes and hotspot volcanoes caused by mantle plumes. You understand earthquake waves, P, S, and L, and secondary hazards like liquefaction and landslides. You've explored the full range of volcanic hazards, from pyroclastic flows to Jokulhaps. And you've got the exam technique to turn that knowledge into marks. The key to this topic is making connections. Every hazard has a cause, and every cause links back to a plate boundary process or a mantle plume. If you can explain those links clearly, with named examples and specific data, you will be well on your way to the top marks. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and remember, geography is all around you. Every earthquake in the news, every volcanic eruption, every tsunami warning is this topic coming to life. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.